If you're in church on Sunday, this is part two, because Lindy gave, she started talking, I thought, hey, she's giving my talk. Mine will differ, though, as usual. It's funny, I wrote this talk about 2 weeks ago, and I had one path that I was going down, and it kind of brought me a whole other path, but it's interesting how anybody that talks, either here or at Sunday church, they always say, sometimes they don't have an idea, and then God gives them an idea of what to talk about, and it's usually things that are going on in their life. And since I wrote this talk, I've really had a lot of insight into my own self-responsibility, into my own life, and dealing with challenges. What I want to talk about is, who is God? What is God? We all grew up with some idea of God, who he is, what he is. I actually, as a kid, thought he was like Poseidon. He was bigger than life. He sat on a big old throne, and he had this rod that he was ready to aim at you and zap you with fire for all your misdeeds. If you remember my talk last time, I talked about kind of my background and that I grew up in more of the fear-based religion. So God really wasn't a very positive image to me. And it wasn't until I started coming to this church and I took a class with about 5 other women, and the first night of this class that we took, she said, describe your own fathers. And so we all kind of had our own fathers that we described, and she said, now describe, let's write an ad for the perfect father. And so we wrote this ad for the perfect father, and she said, this is God as our father. And that really got me thinking as an adult of, what is my perception of God? Is he this big entity that sits up there ready to dole out fire and brimstone to everybody? Is he always just waiting for you to mess up so he can zap you with that rod? Or is he really a loving, positive energy? So I got to thinking, you know, we have this whole self-responsibility thing. And we come here and we learn that we really can't blame the devil for when we mess up. But how often do we blame God for not keeping us from messing up? So I thought, in my own opinion, I see God as the positive energy. You have the devil as the negative energy, and you have God as the positive energy. So I wanted to know, you know, what does the Bible say about God? So I looked up a few verses. Romans 5:5 says, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out his love into our hearts. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us. Romans 8:39, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9, however, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Ephesians 6:23, peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Hebrews 6:10, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. And my favorite, 1 John 4:8, whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So that kind of backs up what I thought. God is that positive love energy. He didn't send us down here so we could screw up and be punished. Then I thought, okay, so that's what the Bible says about. So let's see what the internet says about God. You always have to do both, you know. It's always fun. I've never actually looked at the internet for what they thought about God, and I actually had a good time with it. So one place had the six personality traits of God. He is knowable. He is approachable. He is creative. He is forgiving. He is honest. He is capable. That's all pretty good. God is life. He gives us promises in the Bible that were true centuries ago, are true today, and will be true tomorrow. He has promised us life and life abundantly. So if his word is true, he is true. God is grace and mercy, for he has forgiven us for our past mistakes and sins. He is long-suffering, wanting no one to perish. God is not a man, but we were made in his image, as in, we resemble his likeness. But man has the tendency to sin, whereas God is without sin, pure and blameless. He cannot look upon sin, so he is also a judge. God is the creator of all the universe and beyond. His divine plan has placed us in the exact place to support our life and that of our world. God is all-seeing, all-knowing, all-wisdom, understanding, and knowledge. He is above all. So I really like these. And then from Wikipedia. God most commonly refers to the deity worshipped by followers of monotheistic and monolatrous, okay, I can't pronounce words today, religion, whom they believe to be the creator and the ruler of the universe. Theologians have ascribed a variety of attributes to the various conceptions of God, the most common to include omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, perfect goodness, divine simplicity, and eternal and necessary existence. God has also been conceived as being incorporeal, a personal being, the source of all moral obligation, and the greatest conceivable existence. So I think that that sounds like God's a pretty good energy. And Ralph Waldo Emerson said, God offers to every mind its choice between truth and repose. So one thing God gave us when we came here is he gave us free will. He also gave us that self-responsibility thing. You go down there and you're responsible for your actions, but I'm here to help you. So what does God want from us? One of my favorite stories is about the plantation owner who, foolishly accustomed to bartering with God, prayed for a good harvest. He pleaded thusly, Dear God, if you would please bring me a great banana harvest, as a service I will give you 1,000 bananas from the harvest. God granted him this great harvest. Thus the plantation owner loaded up 1,000 bananas in the wagon and had his foreman deliver them to the temple. Along the way, the foreman was pestered by two little beggar boys who pleaded for a banana to ward off their hunger. Shoo, shoo, go away, said the foreman, knowing that the plantation owner had loaded exactly 1,000 bananas. The hungry little boys ran alongside the wagon and continued to beg. Finally, the hired hand gave each of them a banana. He thought to himself, who would count all these bananas and know that two are missing from 1,000? But the plantation owner had warned the chief overseer of the temple to count the bananas to make sure that the foreman had not sold some along the way. He found out that two were missing and had been given to beggars, and he fired his foreman. That night, the plantation owner had a dream. In his dream, God came to him and said, I have granted your prayer for a great harvest, but you have not kept your agreement. The plantation owner pleaded in his case, but God, I took the bananas to you as I said. God replied, well, I'm sorry that you are in error, my friend, because so far I have only received two. So what does that tell us? God doesn't want our material. He wants us to share our abundance, share our love, share and honor one another. He wants us to be the love that he is. If we're created in his image, then doesn't that mean that if he's love, then maybe we should give more love? So often we come here and we forget that he also gives us a toolbox. A toolbox full of all these wonderful gifts. And gifts that we really don't even use a lot of times. Kind of like the guy who died and went to heaven, and when he's up there, he sees this huge storage and all these boxes are there with his name on them. And he says, well, God, what are all these boxes with my name on them? He says, those are all the gifts I gave to you that you did not use. So we want to make sure that we're using our gifts. And, you know, one of those gifts is the fact that we get to come back. I think reincarnation is a positive gift. It's the gift that we get to come back and we get to learn our lessons. So I kind of look at it like this. We're up in heaven, we've been here, and we decide that, you know, God, I want to go back down and I have a list of lessons that I want to learn. And I believe that we all have a soulmate. That soulmate is like our twin soul, and that soulmate stays up in heaven, and they're there to kind of help us remember what our lessons are that we came down here for. And, you know, kind of have this conversation. Okay, you're going down this time. Now, don't forget. Remember last time you forgot this and this and this, so now we're having to relive this all over again. So don't forget. So we come down here, and, you know, we get distracted. There's so many things to distract us, and we forget, and things don't quite go well, and so we blame God. God, you know, why aren't you helping me with this? Why aren't you helping me with that? You know, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? And we start to blame God. But, you know, he gave us that free will, that we can come down here and make our choices of what we want to do. I have a friend who told me a couple months ago, she said, I'm really mad at God. And I said, well, why are you mad at God? Because I have this mountain of debt, and it's not going anywhere. So did God tell you to go out and spend $50,000 on a brand new vehicle instead of maybe $20,000 on one that you could afford? Did God tell you to keep using your credit cards, you know, and get over debt? You know, he didn't tell you to do this. You did it. But look at the areas where God is helping you. You know, she got a better job. She's making more money. She's got to work long hours, but she got a better job, so she's got more money to pay those bills. Her husband has more work than he can get. So it's kind of like, look at the flip side. You get yourself into a lot of the challenges. But God always is there to try and help you. You know, he's not that mean guy sitting up there going, ha, 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 you screwed up. I'm going to zap you with my little wand, you know. He's trying to help you. It's just sometimes we add more challenge and more challenge and more challenge onto our plate that, you know, our poor angels are just going, come on, you know. They can't hardly keep up with us. And here we are, we're sitting there going, I got too much debt. Just take it away. And we forget to see the little things that come in. There have been times when I have gone, gosh, you know, I just need a little bit of money and maybe I'll get a check in the mail today. And, you know, I'll get a rebate check. It might be only 10 bucks, but, you know, maybe 10 bucks is, you know, sometimes 10 bucks is a lot of money. You know, or last week I was kind of short and I got a check from my sister for doing my niece's hair that I didn't expect. And that was a nice little gift. You got to watch and see where areas come in, where God is helping you out and not blame him. I've gotten mad at God. A few months ago, it just seemed like there was one thing after another. And finally, I just said, what are you doing to me? Come on, give me a break. And then I had this conversation with my brother, and he was saying the same thing, and we both kind of got it at the same time. We both laughed. I said, you know what? The funny thing is that talking to you, I can really see where everything I'm complaining about, I brought on myself. And so we both kind of said, wow, isn't that funny? He goes, you know, I hear you, sis. So we both kind of talked about it and laughed about it. And it was from a different perspective. I began to see, okay, if I brought this on myself, then maybe I'll be able to get it out, you know, get it gone. So he called me a couple days ago. He goes, you know what? After our conversation, I really decided that I'm going to really take control of these challenges. And he said his was financial. He had bought a truck that was over his budget, so, and it was a gas guzzler. He goes, I sold my truck, I got a car, so now I'm saving $100 a month on my truck payment, and I'm saving about $300 to $400 a month on gas. And he goes, you know what? Within a day of deciding to be more self-responsible for my finances and that, he goes, I talked to somebody else, and they gave me these CDs for this financial planning. And he said, I started working on that. He goes, it's amazing how things have changed around so fast. So I started thinking, gosh, does that mean that sometimes when we start taking responsibility for our actions, instead of blaming, and we start saying, okay, so I did this, and it caused this, the whole cause and effect, then when we start becoming more responsible for it, it's almost like the blessings start piling up even faster. And this is something that I'm kind of learning right now. I've also always held truth to the fact that God has always said he would never give me more than I can handle. Mother Teresa says, I know God will not give me anything I can't handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. I say the same thing, you know, it's like, okay. Sometimes when you're going through stuff, you go, okay, I know I can handle this, but gosh, you know what, I really don't want to handle it anymore. I just, you know, but God gives you the tools. He'll bring in a friend when you need a friend. You know, there have been times when I have been in the depths of despair. And I thought, oh, you know, I just don't know what to do. And somebody will call me and I'll go, oh, I really don't want to talk to him. But, you know, I haven't talked to him for a while. So you answer the phone, you think you're just going to make it short. And before you know it, you're not in the depths of despair. They were the phone call. Now, did they call you just because they haven't called you for a while? Chances are they thought, you know what, I think I need to call this person. How many times has that happened? And they just have the right words, or they just let you kind of, you know, how are you doing? And you just kind of go, here it is, you know? And they go, wow, you know, I'm sorry to hear that, but, you know, you want to talk about it, and you know, and then before you know it, you're feeling better. Sometimes we just need to have somebody that's willing to listen, and God will send that person. I've kind of started this new thing where I swim every day, and while I'm in the pool, that's kind of like my time to talk to nature and God and that. So I was telling Rita about this earlier, and I've had a lot of fun with it. I get in the pool, and if I'm stressed, you know, I just start asking questions, and I talk out loud. You know, people probably think I'm crazy because I'm talking to the birds or the dragonflies or the butterflies, or I'm talking to nothing, and then some kind of creature will fly by, and I'm like, oh, that's my answer, you know. So I have this whole thing. I get answers, even though I kind of know the answers. You know, we always second guess ourselves, but it's like, you know, should I really do this? You know, I'm thinking about this, and you know, God brings the right, kind of that backup, like, yes, this is my reinforcement, but yeah, do this, or, you know, maybe this isn't quite it. So, it's kind of like Lily Tomlin said, why is it that when we talk to God, we're said to be praying, but when God talks to us, we're schizophrenic? You know, God talks to you. He doesn't necessarily sit there and go, hey, turn left, turn right. You just get this feeling, you know? And when we use that gift of entombment, another one of those gifts in the toolbox, and it's that little feeling in the pit of our stomach for most of us, your life goes so much easier. Because maybe you've decided that we need a new car. I can afford $15,000. But you get to the car lot, and you really like that $50,000 car. And you think, okay, I'm going to do this. And it's grueling, you know, but you push forward, and you get that car. Well, then, you know, maybe you'll look back, because I've done this. Not the $50,000 car, but, you know, I push forward for something that I really wanted, and then I step back and I go, oh, God, you know, I really don't think I can afford this. I really don't think I want this. I really made a mistake, and I can look back. All these challenges, all these things he kept putting up in my face, you know, basically saying, no, you know, here's a chance. You can back out. And it's like, no. I'm going to disregard that. So really pay attention as to what you ask for. And then what's given. And, you know, God is generous. He will give it to you. He wants you to have a good life. But sometimes he knows that you can't afford the $50,000 car payment. You can only afford the $15,000. And maybe he did this with us with the last car we purchased. We were headed one way, and all of a sudden we said, hey, let's go over here. And we got a really good deal. And we got a whole lot more car than what we thought we were going to be able to get. But we could afford it. So really pay attention when you're driving down that road to get something or you want something. Really know in your mind what you want. And you know, he brings it to you. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. It's one of our greatest tools. Is ask. He will give it to you. Ask and you will receive. You know, there's so many tools that we have that he sends to us that, you know, as a parent, I have 4 boys. I have 2 boys that are adults. I like to think that I've given them a nice toolbox for when they move out, they can get out into the real world and handle things. My second son recently moved out about 6-7 months ago. He was all excited, and I go, you know, you're really sure you want to spend all this money for an apartment? You know, you're hardly ever home, you're going to school, you're working. Yes, I want to move out. I'm ready to be out on my own. I said, okay, you know, and he's one of my kids that's always been really good about saving. He's very frugal with his money. He's very good. So, but, you know, that's okay. Well, a week ago Friday, it was 1 day before his 22nd birthday, and we went to lunch. Oh, my goodness, this poor kid. He said, you know, I have my whole life ahead of me, and what do I see? I messed around. I didn't finish school, so now I'm having to hurry up and finish to get my AA. And he goes, I'm having to take all these classes, and I didn't get registered in time, so I'm having to crash classes and hope to get classes. I don't have a girlfriend. I watched these 2 movies about being married, and marriage just doesn't look like it's going to be fun. He said, they fight, they don't like each other, and they have kids, and it's like, he goes, I'm just thinking, you know, life really doesn't look too appealing right now. And he kind of said it in a little different words. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, and I'm kind of laughing inside, but I understand. He goes, I don't have any money. It's expensive living out. My savings is gone. I give my roommate money for the bills and he doesn't pay them. And our electric got turned off a couple weeks ago because he just throws the bills on the floor. And I thought, welcome to the real world. And I go, well, are you ready to move back in? He goes, we signed a 1-year lease, so I can't do that till March. But he's ready. He's waiting. He's counting the days. He's even thinking we could get out of this lease. It would just cost us an extra month's rent, but he would be ready for it. So, you know, he really pushed that. He really wanted it. And I think, you know, all these problems he has, and I said, you know, it's really a whole lot better than that. It's not that bad. Well, the next day, he got a little bit better check than he had wanted, so he had a little bit more money, and things were looking a little bit better. But I thought, you know, how often we just, the whole weight of the world was on him right then, and I could laugh because I thought, wow, you really don't know what it's about. These are really not too many challenges you got here. But, you know, at least he's got the good ideas of wanting to have the money, wanting to have the savings account. He's not overspending in that, so I can say he did learn something from me, because I've always overspent and come up short. So I figure I've been kind of the role model in the financial area of what not to be. And I tell my kids that, you know, part of being a parent is to be a role model of either a good parent or not a so good parent. And I said, you know, there are a lot of things in my life that I'm a very good role model in. When it comes to the finances, I have not been a good role model. But my kids see that, and they understand that, and they actually work with me to help me understand things. So the whole parenting thing is one of those things that, I don't know, I think God forgot that manual with the kids, because, you know, it's just winging it on that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, back to this. You know, trust your intuition, ask, and know that we all have free will. We came down here to do what our soul wanted to do. God didn't say, you're going to go down there and learn this lesson. You know, he's like, okay, you can go down there. You know, be careful. I'm here at calling me when you need me. He's that ad for the Father that we all want. He's that ad. Call on him. Use him. That helps him. Call on your angels. You know, when we go free, we're still learning. We still need to grow. So when we ask our angels, somebody says, oh, I don't want to bug them. And I said, bug them, because you know what? That's what they're there for. They want to help you. But they're just not going to come down, and they're just not going to help you. That's what free will is about, is asking. So I want to end with this. Ecclesiastes 8:15 says, so I recommend having fun, because there is nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life, that they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. Romans 5:5, and this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Remember, we are made in God's image. So if we're made in his image, and God is love, that means we are love. So maybe, Arthur Clarke says, it may be that our role on this planet is not to worship God, but to create him. So go out and create God as a love in your life.
Thank you, Andrea. Gosh. We all need to be reminded to ask, because the love is really always there for us, always. So really, really nice message. Thank you, Andrea.